I want running to be more accessible and less intimidating, and I want mental health support to be more accessible and less intimidating as well. So,
hello and welcome to the very first interview episode of my new podcast, the Life Well Lived podcast with me, Shane Breslin. This project has been in the pipeline for quite a while now, and to be honest, I was the one who was causing unnecessary delays by holding off, by allowing self-doubt to creep in, by hiding behind various excuses about equipment or knowledge or concerns about quality. But thanks to a number of people who encouraged me and told me, you just got to jump in. And today I'm jumping in. As I outlined in the intro episode, you can listen back to that. I posted that a week or two back. The Life Well Lived podcast is all about conversations on life, how to navigate its challenges, how to be our best selves, and ultimately how to live a life well lived. My very first guest is Jessica Robson, who I've been following for more than a year now online. Jessica talks to me about her own mental health struggles through eating disorders and anxiety and depression, and how those challenges led her to establishing Run Talk Run, a support group that combines running and talking to help people who might be struggling with their own mental health or who are supporting a loved one in that situation. Jessica talks to me about the background and vision for Run Talk Run, as well as the responsibility of establishing a support group like this, the challenge of identity in an age when through social media we can easily become known for just one thing, and Jessica's own big plans for 2019, which will include running through the night in Death Valley with a cyclist alongside her to stave off any wild dogs. I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and if you do, please do share it out, a screenshot, or share out the link to any social media platform to share this with any of your friends and contacts who might be interested in running and or positive mental health. So without further ado, let the first Life Well Lived podcast interview begin. Jess, you're very welcome to the show. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today. Why don't you start by telling a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Jessica Robson, who you are and where you come from.
Sure. So I am obviously Jess, and I run a mental health support group called Run Talk Run. I am London based, so Run Talk Run was also born out of London, but it's now spread to other locations across the UK and America. And as you can imagine, Run Talk Run was born from my own mental health struggle and my affinity with running. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
So we'll flesh a lot of that out, because there's loads. I've been following Run Talk Run. I've been following you and everything you've been doing on Facebook and Instagram for probably about 12 months or so now. I'm inspired by people who not just tell their story, but also tell their story and take action. So it is that's something that this project is a part of. And it's part of what I'm trying to do, to build on kind of telling the story that I've been telling and also taking some action. So I've been inspired by you and what you've been doing based on your own story, but also on taking the action with Run Talk Run and everything that goes along with that. I'm interested in hearing about why don't we start with Run Talk Run?
So it began last October 2017, and essentially it was born on the back of my last prolonged depressive phase. So last summer, I was in a very dark place, and it stuck with me for months and months. And I kept going home during this period to East Sussex to stay with my parents, because when I was in that dark place, London just felt so overwhelming and just too much, too heavy for the way I was feeling. So I kept going home, and when I was at home, my mum would run with me. She would force me out of bed to go for a run. And being out on those runs, I found that I was really opening up in a completely different way to how I had been opening up in therapy. So I was trying my hardest when I was in London to, you know, get through it, and I was going to therapy, but I wasn't necessarily being as honest as I could be with my therapist. And running with mum opened up a new outlet for me to be honest about what I was going through. And it got to the end of the summer, and she, I think, was perhaps despairing of me a little bit, and suggested that I found the same level of support in London. So it kind of was born from there. I took that idea home with me to London and put it out on Instagram. Does anyone want to run a chat? So it was kind of, I guess, born initially from a kind of selfish reason. I needed that support myself. And it grew very, very slowly from that point, from putting it out on Instagram that I'm going to be stood at this location. I'm going to run 5K. If anyone wants to join me, perfect. And it's grown very slowly from that first Thursday. Few months were, very quiet.
Tell me a little bit about, from the very start, you've mentioned about how beneficial you found running and talking with your mum.
Yes.
From the very start, was the act of both running and talking, as in kind of jogging at talking pace, was that the vision for what you wanted? It wasn't just a running group, or it wasn't just a group of people maybe with common interests. It was the fact that you were going to get together and run and also chat.
Yes. I mean, before the summer of running with my mum consistently, running was very much a solo act. And I never really kind of had experienced the benefits of opening up and talking whilst running. But it was last summer that made me realise that it's a great way to facilitate those deeper conversations, and a great way to get people to feel a bit more relaxed about talking about the shit that's going on for them. So there really is that focus. There was that focus from the get-go, that this is a place where we can talk about our mental health.
Mm. And you mentioned that it started to grow, but it grew slowly or steadily in the first months. Tell us a little bit about it. We're a little over a year down the road now. Tell us a little bit about the potted history of where Run Talk Run has gone in that really only a very short period of time.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy in a way. I can't quite believe we're at where we are now, because the first 4 or 5 months even, from October through to February, I would say half of the times when I would put myself in that position to run with people, I wouldn't have anyone show up. So the first 5 months were really slow. I was getting one or two people joining me, which is lovely. I formed some very sound friendships from that. Spring started to see Run Talk Run grow in numbers. And yeah, it's really just blossomed. Over the summer, it has blossomed and it's continued that growth since. And we've had other people sort of see what we've been doing and want to get involved and host their own runs, which I've been fully on board with. So other run leaders are now hosting a Run Talk Run in their hometown. So it's gone beyond London now and beyond me, which is fantastic.
So tell us and tell the listeners where exactly it is now. So we're recording this in early December.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about where it actually is now. What's the reality of Run Talk Run on the ground as we speak?
Okay, so we have several London runs across London, and Peterborough and Brighton and Hove. We have two runs there. Soon to be a run in Nottingham, Lancashire, Manchester and Oxford, and we're also running in California, which is really exciting. So that's probably like our most exotic one to date.
That's amazing.
And as of January, Melbourne as well, in Australia. So
as we speak today, so you're growing quickly, rapidly into multiple cities in the UK, and there's also California and Melbourne on the way in Australia.
Yes.
Amazing. Congratulations I remember talking to you a number of months back, and at that stage there was one run and the hope or vision to go to different places, but that is taking off in the way that it seems to be taking off. I just take my hat off and congratulate you. It must feel a little bit surreal at times.
Thank you. It does. It really does. But it's so much nicer now actually sharing Run Talk Run, to be honest, with the other run leaders. and having people on board with that is, yeah, it's really special. It's like another community within itself, you know, the run leaders and then the running community as a whole. So yeah, thank you. It is a bit bonkers when I stop and think about it.
So tell me about the format. So the format is important for this. Tell us a little bit about how people pair up or match off, and also what part the run leaders play in different places.
So there is, I suppose, a fair amount of commitment and responsibility on the run leader. So a typical run, we would meet at, say, for example, 6 o'clock. And for the first half hour or so, there is a window of time where the runners will arrive, they will make themselves comfortable, there will be a bit of chatter, and then the run leader themselves will introduce the run, the logistics of it, but alongside the logistics of the run, they will also introduce and remind people of the mental health focus and the fact that it is a safe and confidential space. To bring whatever it is you're holding on to. But there is also the reminder that there is no pressure to bring that to the table if you're not comfortable. So that all happens before we even set off running. I personally will share how I'm feeling that day, which I feel helps put others at ease and allows others permission to actually be honest about whatever they're going through too. A lot of honesty from the leader. And then in terms, we don't pair off. Everyone sort of naturally gravitates towards someone to talk to. It kind of just happens when we're running. There is no strict format. I'm not keen on the idea of pairing people up. I feel like that could be a bit forced, perhaps. So it's all very natural, all very chilled. There is structure, yes, but mostly it's very, very relaxed. And we go at a very gentle pace, as slow as the slowest runner for 5 kilometres.
Wonderful. And and I'm assuming, or you can tell me, do you get people who have some sort of exercise or running background, or do you get people coming along who have never put on a pair of runners before?
No, so we are totally open to complete new beginner runners, and often our runs will look more like a walk, jog, because we do have beginner runners, and we welcome beginner runners. That's really important to me. I want running to be more accessible and less intimidating, and I want mental health support to be more accessible and less intimidating as well. So. Yeah, I urge any complete new beginner runners to come along.
Mm-hmm. And if there isn't a Run Talk Run nearby, and the way things are growing, I have a feeling that over the next year or two that there may well be Run Talk Run events taking place in a lot of different places. But if there isn't one currently, what would you recommend to somebody who maybe is feeling a little bit off, who struggles a little bit with their own mental health? What would you recommend in terms of what running can do for that eventuality?
I think the best advice I could give to someone who currently isn't running, would like to run for their mental health, they know it's going to be good for them, but are just a bit intimidated by the whole scene, because it is quite intimidating if you're not already a runner, is don't go out with the expectation that you're going to run a whole mile. Just go easy on yourself and make life easy for yourself. You go out with the intention, like, I'm going to walk, jog, whatever I can around the park. If I end up walking more than jogging, that's also cool. And just make life as easy and as gentle for yourself. Otherwise, you're going to come back and you're going to hate it already, because you're gonna be cross with yourself that you haven't run as much as you'd like to have run. So I think that's my biggest advice, just make it as easy for yourself as possible, and seek out an online community. So like Run Talk Run, as much as we have our physical meetups, we also are very present online too, and quite often when people can't make our runs, they will run virtually with us, so at the same time but not with us, and we all sort of feedback to each other after the run, so there's that option too.
Excellent. Yes. And tell me if we, I'll return to Run Talk Run in a minute, because I know that there have been developments with your own involvement over the last number of months, and I'm sure there's visions and aspirations that we can talk about for the future of Run Talk Run. But if we kind of go back in time a little bit to maybe the summer before last, when you were at the web, and even before then, could you talk a little bit about your own challenges and struggles and the different things that you went through before the maybe the revelation of what Run Talk Run has been able to give to you?
Sure. So my sort of mental health struggles really sort of began at the age of 14, 15. I'd always been quite shy, but no serious problems had really emerged until I hit my teens. It seemed to happen all of a sudden when I hit that age. I became very low and my self-esteem was really poor. And I started to bring up my food. So I became really bulimic. So that's where my mental health struggles began. I think it was an age where I was starting to compare myself to my peers. I was in quite a competitive, nurturing but competitive school, so naturally wanted to be just as fit and slim and academic as everyone else, which kind of fed into the lowest self-esteem really, and fed the depression, I suppose. This sort of stayed with me until about the age of 19, and at 19 I was still very, very bulimic, still bringing up most of my food, and decided I didn't want to live that way anymore. That decision had to come from me. I'd had a lot of pressure over the years from parents to make that call and to, you know, knock my eating disorder on its head. But that decision came from me at 19, and I decided I was going to start running instead of throwing up, essentially. Sorry to not mince my words. And it came from a negative mindset, like I wanted to keep the weight off, but the running was what pulled me out of that negative mindset. It gave me my esteem back. It gave me a sense of confidence, and just a new identity that wasn't just depressed with an eating disorder. Kind of gave me a new sense of Jess and what Jess was all about. But mental health is something that, mental ill health has cropped up again and again since then. It seems to be like with every big life change, I don't necessarily handle change very well. And if I don't manage change well, then I will slip very easily back into a very depressed state. And I think that's more normal and more common than I've let myself believe in the past. Where I speak so candidly about it now, I kind of get a lot of feedback about how this affects other people in the same way. Like a breakup, you're not meant to just get over it like that, you know. Some people do take longer to process, and just, yeah, I've cut myself a bit more slack. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. And my last major depressive episode was just last summer, so it's not all that long ago, really.
Yeah, and I commend you in having the fortitude, I guess, to talk about it. One thing that I noticed when I started talking about it was you hadn't given yourself the credit, or you hadn't believed fully that how common these situations are and these experiences are. And one thing that happened to me was that lots of people started kind of messaging me, emailing me, phoning me up, saying that they recognized a lot of what I had been talking about, including some very, very close friends of mine who we had been in each other's company for hours at a time for years. And we had never spoken about the stuff that was important. In terms of when you started running, as you mentioned, it was as the bulimia was a weight loss mechanism or a keep the weight down mechanism, and running was that also for you. And did you very quickly find the benefits of running? As were you surprised by the benefits of running in other ways as opposed to just as a weight management mechanism?
Absolutely. More than I realized. So I only started the running as a weight loss thing. That wasn't what kept me going with it. What kept me going with it was how quickly it alleviated all my anxiety. It gave me an outlet to put that energy into. And it was a great thing to throw myself into when I was at college at the time and like had a lot of social anxiety. So it was a great thing for me to sort of, yeah, put myself into when I didn't necessarily want to go out and go out and get drunk and party with people. So it worked wonders for me in so many ways.
Currently, do you enjoy actually starting running? Because I know myself, and I know from talking to some other people that I really enjoy having run, and I enjoy once I'm well into a run. The half an hour before I run I find very, very difficult in terms of actually sitting down and putting on the runners and getting out the door.
Absolutely.
I talk myself out of it as more than I actually go through with it. So do you experience that, or do you really do you kind of enjoy everything about running now?
No, of course not. I don't think, I mean, maybe some runners just love every run. I don't know, some runs absolutely, they suck. They hurt. And running is tough, you know. It's not an easy sport to do. It's very challenging on your body and your mind to keep going and pushing through what is quite a struggle. But I think that's what almost gives you the mental health benefits. It's kind of proving to your mind and body that, you know what, I've set myself a task and I've seen that task through, and that gives us a real buzz and a real sense of achievement and boosts our self-efficacy. And yeah, I think the fact that running is tough is half the beauty of it, really.
Do you have a routine that helps you with your mental health and your physical health? Do you have a routine on a daily or weekly basis, or is it kind of take every day as it comes?
I have a routine in as much as I have things that I do every day without fail for my mental health. It doesn't necessarily come at the same time every day. I'm not strict about timings and scheduling it, but there are things such as journaling that I commit to doing every day. Only has to be 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes sometimes if I don't need 10 minutes, but that's something that I commit to every day. Just getting in, and it sounds really, I hate how cliche it sounds, but just getting enough time outside, even not running, getting time just outdoors is a must for me. It's something I have to do every day. Even if it's raining, I just have to for my mental health, and I know that now. So yeah, whilst it not every day looks the same, I do have things that I know I must do to maintain my mental health.
Yeah, it's interesting that, and I wholeheartedly endorse what you say about getting outside and just even the tangible. We can, if we want to, right now, the way work is, the way technology is, we can exist in a dark room for forever almost, you know, like we can order in food, we can do our work, we can collaborate with colleagues, we can work with clients, we can do everything without leaving our house. So yeah, even the physical act of getting breathing in some fresh air, placing our feet on solid ground and just moving of any description. Definitely think that that's something that I've experienced as well. And I think everybody will. Your approach to journaling has also been important for me. And I flip flop when it comes to journaling. I test different types of journals and I test different planners and But it is good. And when I'm in a good space, generally I'm pretty good at kind of journaling every day. What's your approach to journaling? Do you have one?
It's very much writing down in a very non-structured way whatever it is that I'm thinking or feeling. Sometimes that'll be really specific. For example, if I am in a bad place, that can be quite, I will write with kind of like not anger behind my words, but you know what I mean? It's very emotionally fueled writing. But if I'm in a good place, it might be like, you know, I'm sat in the park and weather's good, and like it's like literally whatever's on my mind, and it doesn't look the same every day, that's for sure. I don't use sort of a structured approach, which I know does work for some people, having, you know, three things you're grateful for and three things you're looking forward to, and that those things can work too, but it's not how I personally do it. I like free flow.
Interesting. So would you have any advice when you look back at your 14, 15 year old self, and those difficult teenage years that almost everybody goes through, would you have any, is there anything that you have heard or experienced or found out or discovered about yourself in the last 2 or 3 years that you would like to have known back in when you were 14, 15, 16 that you think might have helped back then?
It's a really good question. I would definitely have urged myself to not even necessarily talk to teachers or parents or anything like that, but to at least have told my friends perhaps how low I was feeling, because it's with hindsight and talking to my friends now, we've all sort of shared with each other like how much we were struggling at school with self-esteem and stress and eating anxiety. You know, we were all teenage girls going through the same body image thoughts. So I think perhaps I would tell a 14, 15 year old feeling like this to just talk to your friends about it, because you've all got your own experiences, but you're all also in the same boat, and you're not weird for feeling sad or feeling anxious around food. It may feel strange, but you're not strange. It's really common. So I think that'd be my biggest advice, really. Just talk, because you're not alone with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Back to Run Talk Run and the future. So I know when I spoke to you last a number of months back, you were working your full time job, and you were doing and developing Run Talk Run on the side. Tell me what the current state of play is with your involvement.
Do you know what? It's been a really bonkers week. So I finished at my full time job just this Thursday, just gone. A few days ago. Thanks. Yeah, it's really exciting. So the plan now is I will be working part-time at a running store in Covent Garden, which is right up my street. And then the remainder of my time I will be focusing purely on Run Talk Run and making sure it's ready for the future and ready for the growth, essentially. I want to be able to support my run leaders as best I can, and there needs time to be injected into Run to Run to make that happen. So yeah, I'm very, very excited.
Excellent. And it needs time, and it also needs, at some point, it also needs money and budget and different things. What are there plans? What's your visions? Can you share anything with us about kind of what the big vision and the big dream for Run Talk Run might be?
Absolutely. I mean, the focus now, I'm looking for sponsorship, be that from a running brand or any other company that really gets the idea of Run to Run and can see where we're going with it. So that's my focus, really, is sponsorship. And like further down the line, I would love to see people, you know, running London Marathon in the name of Run to Run, and having my runners train with Run Tall Run and then go and run a race and fundraise. And that's where I see the future going. And I think that's how we will be sustainable long term. Yeah, at the moment, my focus is on like the softer side of nurturing it. And then the money will, yeah, hopefully it will just evolve and work itself out.
I think it's my belief, I think that money, income, revenue, money follows the value. And once there's value being generated, that will happen. And so I wish you all the best with that. And I've no doubt that we'll be able to make it work. I've seen the rise and the growth in Run Talk Run over the last year. And I'm very excited to see where else you can go. A couple more questions before we finish up, if that's okay. How do you handle, or do you see it at all as a burden for you to take on the responsibility, I guess, of building an organization that helps a lot of, that can help a lot of people? Does the responsibility feel okay to you, or does it ever feel like a heavy burden to carry?
Do you know what? I would say I have had to really learn. I've had to learn a lot over the last year about my boundaries and about what I can and can't take on. So, it's never felt like a burden. That's not the right word I would use, but I have found myself on a few occasions perhaps worrying too much about things that have been shared, which is just natural. I give a shit, you know? So what I've recently undertaken is therapy for myself, not necessarily because I'm in a poor place with my mental health, but so that I have a place where I can offload some of the things that I'm holding. And I think that will work out really well for me to be able to continue with Run Talk Run. So no, it's not a burden. But there are things that I do have to do to ensure that I do keep my head above water and that I am that support for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I definitely recognize how difficult that could be, or how much of a challenge that could be to, we want to be, especially in this space, I think it's kind of, we do feel a responsibility. If somebody says something to us, we definitely feel a responsibility, and that can be a challenge, I think. So yeah, I commend you on taking the step in terms of therapy as well. That's never a misstep as far as I'm concerned. Any counselor, psychologist, psychotherapist that I would have worked with down the years, it's always been, while it might have been difficult at the time, it's always been several steps forward in hindsight. So yeah, best of luck with that too.
Thank you.
in terms of, do you think about happiness? So the theme of this podcast is the name of this podcast is life well lived. So a part of that is to be happy and comfortable with our own selves, and also to be our best selves in the world. Do you think about that, of how you show up? Is that something you've had to work with in terms of building your own profile increasing, and are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, a very deep question actually. In the last few months, like I say, I've done a lot of learning this year. I've had to realize that although Run Talk Run is amazing, it's not my full identity. So I've been putting myself into challenges, albeit running challenges, so it's still challenging and it's still running. But it's reminding myself that I am more than just Run Talk Run. And I think that's really important to me, is that you're talking about my profile raising, is like, yes, I am mental health Jess. I'm also a Jess to my friends, and I'm also a sister and a daughter, and I am lots of other things. So I think that's really important to me, to keep myself happy, is to not just see myself as one thing. We all have lots of identities, and reminding yourself that you're not just one thing is really important.
I really like that.
That was quite wishy-washy, actually.
I really like that because it is something that I've been challenged by or struggled with a little bit in terms of the identity of doing different things at the same time that aren't at odds with each other but are very, very different things. So it is something, and I think the idea of not splitting the identities but that your identity is not wrapped up in just one thing that you do is a really, really nice way of looking at it. So yeah, I think I'll take that and run with it and for my own use as well.
I like the pun.
Yes, absolutely. You've taken part in some marathons and various things this year. What's your 2018 been like in terms of your competitive running?
Do you know what I've been? Although I have run marathons, and don't get me wrong, there is training involved with that. I've actually gone a lot easier on myself in terms of expectations of times and things like that. And it's made me enjoy running a lot more. So yeah, I've run Amsterdam and New York, and they were both incredible, like really cool experiences and really amazing sense of achievement. But I've actually gone a bit easy on myself in terms of like pushing myself with timings and things like that, and tried to be a bit more relaxed about it. So yeah, from my personal running point of view, it's been a good year.
Yeah, excellent. And what's anything planned? Any big trips planned for 2019 yet, or is that all to come?
I do have a big trip planned, actually.
Can you share about it?
Yeah. So I'm doing this crazy, crazy thing called the Speed Project. I'm not sure if you've heard of it. It's an ultra relay with a team of 7 other women running from LA to Las Vegas. So that will be fantastic. That's sort of running through Death Valley in ridiculous temperatures over a couple of days. So that's my next big thing.
Amazing. Well, what, it's called the Speed...
The Speed Project. The
Speed Project. So eight girls in a team, and you're running from LA to Las Vegas, which is a considerable distance. My US geography isn't as good as it could be, but I know it's a considerable distance.
It is. It's a long old way. Yeah, 340 miles.
340 miles among eight. Is it eight marathons or what would it work?
So we will be splitting it into shorter chunks on rotation. So we're trying to work out our strategy, actually, but it could look, for example, like a 10K run done by each of us, but on rotation. So breaking it up like that makes it seem less scary. But then I remember it's still the equivalent of like 45 miles each. So
yes, it's and it's over. So is it 24? Is it like a 24 hour race? Is it like, does it go? Do you break up for a day at the end of the day, or what way does that work?
So it's nonstop, 48 hours.
So lots of logistics to work out there when you finish your 10K, how you're getting the 40K to your next starting point, right?
Yeah, so we're taking like a huge RV sort of truck thing. So the rest of us will be in the truck driving to the next checkpoint, whilst one of us ladies is running to the next checkpoint. We do need a whole like crew behind us and everything, because every runner needs a cyclist with her just to ensure her safety. Because there are like wild dogs and things like that in the desert, apparently. So, yeah.
Amazing. And when is this taking place?
The end of March.
So you're already training for that right now, yeah?
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I wish you the very best with that. I will be following it closely.
Thank you.
As closely as I possibly can. Where can people hear more about maybe that, and also more about Jessica Robson and Run Talk Run?
Probably Instagram is the best place. So my handle, it sounds really long. It's Jessica Mary Robson. Yeah, that's where I post about everything. But anything Run Talk Run related is at Run Talk Run. So that's a bit easy.
And Instagram is the primary social network for you right now.
It is. It seems to be where everyone's finding us. So I'm rolling with it.
Absolutely, yes, definitely. And a little bit, just finally on the speed project, the fact that that's a goal for you, do you find that having a goal in the foreseeable future is very important for you, both from a kind of from a mental and physical point of view?
Yes, 100%. Having a goal, especially a running specific goal, it keeps me running. I find it helps with the motivation. You're saying it's hard to tie up your laces, but when you're sat there and you're thinking, I'm going to really struggle in the desert if I don't get out and run now. It really helps keep me going. So, yeah, it's really important for me.
And acclimatization, I'm sure that the roads around Greater London are not going to prepare you for Death Valley, right? So have you
no. any
plan for acclimatization?
Do you know what? No. I think someone suggested doing a lot of hot yoga so that we get used to breathing in those stifling sort of conditions. The more I talk about it, the more scared I get, actually.
Theory is good, right?
Yes, oblivion right now. It's like the less I think about it, it'll be fine. Yeah.
It's been wonderful to talk to you, Jess. Thank you very much for taking the time. I wish you the very best in the US in March.
Thank you.
I wish you the very best with everything that's going on with Run Talk Run, and I'll be watching and encouraging other people to watch and get involved.
Thank you. It's been lovely talking to you.